Welcome to episode 166 of the Black in Fashion podcast. Woo! I'm gonna do like this because I just feel like we is getting up in numbers. By the time we hit 170, we would be like 5 or 6 years strong. Like, it is up, y'all. Okay, so thank you so much for tuning in to us today. Of course, I am your host. I am Lenise Collier, and today I am with Ashley Cloud of the Cloud Law Firm. Ashley is an attorney. She specializes in fashion law, but also intellectual property, business formation, right?
Yep.
All of that good stuff. So we're going to get a little bit into Ashley's background. She from H-Town, y'all. Okay.
H-Town.
Okay. So before I start any episode, I do this little thing, just like a little icebreaker. It's called this or that. You're just going to tell me what you prefer over the other. Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it. All right. Wedges or mules?
Mules.
Hoops or studs?
Studs.
Flare legs or palazzo? It's a little different.
Ooh.
Yeah, no. I can't say skinny because skinny's out right now.
I still wear them, but.
Me too.
I feel like they look good on our bodies. Anyways.
Yeah.
Flares.
Flares. Okay. Side boob or under boob?
Side.
Okay. And like a tote or like a mini bag?
Damn, I love both. I'll say mini bag.
All right. Wait, last one. Adidas or Nike?
Nike.
Okay. All right. So thank you, Ashley. Thank you so much for joining us today. So I like to start every podcast with just getting to know a little bit about your background and where you're from. So tell us a little bit about where you're from, where you grew up, and, you know, how you got started in law and then how you went into that concentration of fashion.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm originally from Houston, Texas.
H-Town. Bun B.
Yes.
I love me some Bun B, girl.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Houston rap is very special. I'm originally from Houston. Even though I've been gone from the East Coast for like 12 years now, I'm always from Texas. Anytime somebody asks me now to this day, they're like, where are you from? I'm like, Texas. And they're like, oh, so you're visiting? No.
I live there.
I haven't lived there in 12 years, but I'm still from Texas.
Yeah, same. So. I ain't lived in Chicago in 10 years. I'm like, I'm from Chicago. But as soon as we started talking, people be like, well, where are you from? It's like a given accent.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People always can tell, like, you're not from here. I can tell you're not from here.
Mm-hmm.
You're too nice.
I get that too.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'm originally from Houston, Texas, born and raised, went to undergrad there. And
where'd you go?
I went to the University of Houston.
University of Houston, nice.
And I always knew that I wanted to be a lawyer, like, since I was a teenager. My mom's the one that was like, we would get into these fights. Because she was super strict and she wouldn't let me go nowhere and do nothing. So I would always have to like argue her down. And I would sometimes, she just wasn't even trying to hear it. So I was like, okay, you don't have to hear it, but you're going to read what I got to say. So I would write her these letters.
Really?
I would write letters. I actually found one when I was home, like during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Mom, why can't I? Like, I would just have all the, and it would be very convincing.
Mm-hmm.
And so back in the day, my mom used to work at a law firm.
Okay.
And she could kind of see like some similarities between my natural skills and the attorneys that she worked with before she started her own beauty salon.
Oh, nice.
And so she was like, you know what? All you saying sound real good. You still can't go, but it sounds like you might want to consider being an attorney. And I was like, you know what? You show is right. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like it always tied together. Me always being like, it's not fair. It's not fair. Why? You know,
mm-hmm.
with me actually wanting to do something about it and not wanting to actually find solutions.
Gotcha.
And so after undergrad, I took a little bit of time off and worked, and then I applied to law school, and I got into the Howard University School of Law.
Yes, and Bison.
Yes, mm-hmm. H-U.
And you know.
And so I went to school at Howard. I didn't know what kind of lawyer I wanted to be when I got there. At first, I thought I wanted to do civil rights, but I'm a Pisces, and I'm an empath, and it's a little too heavy for me.
Yeah,
I can see that. Yeah.
I didn't mean you to knock somebody out in the courtroom.
Listen, and while I'm crying.
Right.
You know?
Facts.
And so I was like, okay, let me think about this. So once I got to school, I like when you first get there, they have like all these different clubs, like different interest clubs, and you're learning about all these different things. And there was one that was about fashion law, and I was like, I never even thought about that. And so I started learning more. I was so intrigued by it, and I just felt like it was such a great combination of things. Like, one, I love fashion by itself, but then also being able to focus on Black fashion designers, you know, and then also realizing that Black fashion designers are, and creators in general, are usually the ones that are taken advantage of the most. And a lot of times it's because they don't have people like me in their corner to support them and catch things before they sign a bad contract or before they forget to protect their intellectual property in some other kind of way. And so I wanted to fill that gap. And so that's kind of what got me started. It was a really tough trajectory just because I couldn't really find a lot of opportunities to like see what that was really like in practice. So I basically had to create it for myself.
I've heard that before, though. Like, it's like it's the law space for Black women and Black women that like to express themselves. Like, that is hard. I think I told you, like, I interviewed with J&J Legal. She was like, and she's Asian, and she wears like purple wigs, pink wigs, and stuff like that. She just feel like there wasn't no space for her, so she had to create her own opportunities, you know? I went to a college that the tagline was create change. So they always, I went to Columbia College Chicago, they always instilled that in us. Like, create change, create your own opportunities or whatever. Like, I don't feel like they did teach us how to be employees, but not really. Like, they really kind of honed us into entrepreneurship. Like, they really enforced that. Like, they even had a major called interdisciplinary, where you could pick your own classes and create your own major.
That's amazing.
Based off of your career goals. You just had to have, like, a nice little essay attached to it saying what you wanted to do. But not a required this, required that. Like, literally, you pick your 120 credits of the classes that you want to take that's going to be beneficial to your learning, which I just thought it was just so dope with them. I'm all for like creating opportunities and doing whatever you need to do to make yourself happy, you
know? And so when I was in law school, I kind of did something similar. I kind of created my own curriculum. So we didn't have any like fashion law courses, but we did have trademarks, and there was a trademark clinic where as students we get to have like real clients that we get to work with and stuff like that. And while I was there, I also decided to pursue my master's in business administration. And I focused on supply chain management because I was like, okay, what could I do in the business space that I know is tied to fashion? And I know that supply chain is a big deal. And sustainable fashion was kind of starting to become like more of a hot topic. This was like 2013, 2014. And
that's the year you went to get your master's?
Yeah.
Me too.
Really?
That's why I moved to 2014.
Wow.
To get my master's.
Okay. So the way that my, so I did a JD MBA program, so I was basically getting both degrees at the same time.
That sounds intense.
It was intense. So normally law school is 3 years and business school is 2. Wow. But since I did the JD MBA, I only did 4 years.
And together. Was you working during that time?
No. No.
How? But like as a student, you know, when you're trying to learn and stuff like that, how do you get like how do you take care of yourself in a time where like you're it's about school all the time?
Student loans.
Oh yeah, refund checks.
That's literally.
Look at me. I'm like, wait, refund checks. Stuff like that for me it was challenging. And I had I had refund checks in both my master's program and in my bachelor's program. I don't know why I still felt like I was in a struggle. I probably was shopping. I was probably using refund check money. I probably was buying stuff that I shouldn't have been buying.
I mean, I feel like it's never enough, you know, you're paying your tuition and if you're living somewhere expensive,
rent,
you know what I'm saying?
Light bill, yeah.
I remember, as much as I love fashion and shopping, I was not shopping at that time. And I remember I did my own perm for the first time and I was like, looks like I'm going natural. Like,
I ain't about to fuck with this. So.
Exactly. It was a one-hitter quitter for me. I was like, yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to just go ahead and go natural now. You know, I'm not in Texas. It's not as humid here. Let's try this natural thing out. So that's what I'm
doing. And it worked out, right?
And it worked out.
That's what's up. I think I embraced it more when I got to New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, because I was perm sitting. Like, I wasn't even perming my whole head. but I was always a weave girl, but I was definitely perming these edges, girl. Yeah. But then I was like, you know, you don't have to perm the edges too. I think that being in New York, just because it's just such like a melting pot, mm-hmm. it made me not want to. I'm like, it's, they got braids, they got dreads. Yeah. Like, you don't, I really don't have to get no perm. Like, exactly. I can just get this straight as I can and use some edge control or whatever I gotta do. But exactly. I feel like New York, I feel like the East Coast as a whole, yeah. just opens up your eyes because it's so more diverse. Chicago's yep. not diverse. Is Houston very diverse?
Houston is very diverse. Okay. But I will say that in some ways it's conservative still.
Okay.
You know, it's Texas. It's still Texas, you know? And so when I was there, people were starting to go natural, but it wasn't as much of a thing as it is now. You know?
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like for me, when I go home, it's so humid. I can't wear my fro. Like, it just turns into like a cotton ball. Like,
you know, not a cotton ball.
Literally a cotton ball.
I never heard that term before. It's about some cotton ball.
It don't have anything. So, I don't even now I don't wear my hair natural when I go home.
Like, natural.
Just because it just looks, I mean, I'll do it, but it don't last.
Gotcha. Do you feel like there's a lot of opportunity in like that space, like in hair care and like beauty and stuff like that? Just like feel like, I mean, design, well, not even design, but I feel like fashion, like, I ain't gonna say I don't wanna say it's oversaturated either because it's not, but I feel like I see more fashion designers than I see like skincare or beauty, or maybe I'm not paying attention because I feel like there is a lot of beauty brands. There's a lot of skincare brands. Mm-hmm. But I think you mentioned in Ashley did an amazing event this past week called the Fashion Forum. And I got a chance to attend and like hear her and some of the other speakers, and you guys, I think you touched a little bit on the beauty stuff, but you said there's way more regulations and things
that you have to do.
Do you feel like it's harder in that industry as far as intellectual property and like getting started than it is in fashion? Do you feel like they're kind of close?
No, you know why? Because I think one of the main things is the problem with fashion when it comes to intellectual property mm-hmm. is that you can't really protect fashion designs.
Right. Everybody always
says. Because fashion essentially is clothing and it's something that we have to wear. It has a functional aspect to it that no one should have exclusive rights according to the United States government, because in some countries and jurisdictions they do have.
Europe got like I feel like really intense intellectual property rights.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So because of that, you can look at a garment and kind of reverse engineer it, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You don't have to like steal any trade secrets. You don't have to like steal their patterns. You can kind of just take apart a garment and figure out how they made it. Right?
Absolutely. Cut them seams open, lay them flat, and then cut your fabric on top. You literally could just
trace
do that.
It.
Yep, that's how you gotta do it.
Right? Mm-hmm. So one thing I can say about beauty is there are trade secrets that you can protect that you can't necessarily protect in fashion. So basically trade secrets is like your secret sauce.
Okay.
Right?
Trade secrets.
So I think that I'm sure in beauty there are people that can reverse engineer like creams and oils and figure out what's in certain items.
They don't know the percentage.
They don't know the specifics of how it is, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you have a recipe and you keep that a secret, right? That you can leverage that because you're the only one that has that special way of making
secret.
Something.
So with intellectual property rights, what would that be called when you have a special, like, what is that? Would that be like you have a copyright, what is it, a trademark, like what is the actual correct term for something like that where you have only the rights? I feel like I have a friend in Chicago who does hair care, and like butters and stuff like that. What is it called that she would need to be able to protect her and I guess her ingredients and stuff like that? What is that called?
So it's called trade secrets.
That's a trade secret. Okay, that's a trade secret. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
So that's why I call it the secret sauce.
Trade secret.
Yeah, okay. Right? Mm-hmm. So I always try to come up with like a short description of what each type of intellectual property is to keep it straight in my mind, but also a quick way for other people to understand it.
Okay.
And so the thing about trade secrets is it's not something that you register, because when you register something, it's public record.
Information.
And that's literally what you don't want to do, right?
Somebody can steal it.
Exactly. Like, oh, you registered this. This is what's in it. That's how you make it. Got it.
Now making me some.
Right?
Right.
So with trade secrets, it's literally a practice of, one, having non-disclosure agreements in place, mm-hmm. and then actually keeping it a secret, being very careful with who you share the information with, keeping a limit on who knows exactly how things happen, mm-hmm. and having those contracts in place so that if someone does steal something that you've created, you can go after them.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So I have a question.
Yeah.
All right. So, and you can just tell me, like, your opinion on this and what you think. Oftentimes, like, within my business, and with, like, my factory and stuff like that I work with, mm-hmm. mostly, honestly, me, and I think it's weird with me, I get a new designer who comes to me and they want my help. Uh-huh. And then they ask me to basically sign an NDA or whatever. Yeah. And for me, I don't mind. I'll sign an NDA. I don't really care. Like, I don't give a shit. Yeah. But it's like, when I work with my factory partners, they're not signing NDAs or whatever. And just if you go look, not even say you look, if you talk to a lot of different experts and professionals and stuff like that, they can all tell you the same thing. Like, people in factories, China factories might be different. I'm talking about domestic factories.
Okay.
Domestic factories are going to be looking at you like, you're an amateur. Get out of my face. Like, dead ass. Like,
if
somebody asks them to sign an NDA, because that's like, we're here to make these pieces. Like, they're not reselling them on the black market. Like, they have a little factory in the garment district. And, like, that is like an overseas thing. But I think people get that they mesh them together and just automatically think, oh, well, a factory can recreate your stuff, and then they can sell it like on the black market. Like, and that's why we have this whole like knockoff industry and how they're able to be out on Canal Street selling like these fake purses and stuff like that. Not even Canal, they all over this motherfucker, to be honest. Yeah. But what would your advice be to, and honestly, sometimes I do good offended, I'm not gonna lie. Like, if somebody asks me to India, I'm like, girl, I can make whatever I want. Like, why would I want to steal your weak ass design? Yeah. Like, and that's literally, and I'm like, I get, it's just, I get in the back of my head, I'm like, I don't care. Like, cause my business is about helping you. So I sign them anyway.
Yeah.
Or, but like, I sign them once they're my client.
Yeah.
They be wanting me to sign them before a meeting. And I don't like, before they even have a meeting with me, like, before they even talk to me. And I'm like, girl, I don't care about your designs. Like, I'm here to help you. So what is your advice on this end from the person that's like, who they want to sign it or whatever? Mm-hmm. And would you sign it, especially when you have a meeting with me and you get, girl, you came in with two ideas, you end up leaving with 10 because I didn't give you all this information, all this sauce about how you could be making this design better.
Yeah.
But now where is where? Like, now if you take my idea and I say, and I do this all the time, and I think Jaleesa told me one time, Shasha, you need to stop giving people ideas, because like, it's in my nature to do that.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. What would be your advice on both ends, like in a conversation like that? Like, do you really think a contract needs to be signed when it's just a conversation?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, technically, yes.
Okay. Technically, all
right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Because a lot of times, you have them sign it first before you have the conversation because of what they're going to disclose, right?
Right.
So, and that's the whole purpose. But here's the thing. I think there's a few things that people need to understand. A lot of times, your ideas are not original, right?
That'd be the one. I see that, I'd be like, they'd be this like, what I signed the NDA for?
Yeah, like, you cannot share this. You cannot reproduce this. You cannot do the same thing that I've done. It's like, baby, that's been done.
Been done.
And done and done and done and done and done.
So, I added that to my contracts now because I had an issue with a client. She said I posted her work on Instagram before she did. But I posted a sketch that I created. Wow. And the sketch was black and white. And I'm like, if you want to talk about some, you stole that from another designer. All you did was change the fabric, baby girl. Like, but I didn't say nothing or whatever. But it's like, I can't post their work.
Yeah.
Until they do. I post the behind the scenes thing.
Yeah.
The sketches, the, you know, getting the fabric like that. But I never post finished products until they post or they give me permission to do so myself.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
In that conversation where I've signed the NDA now to not put out their stuff, but I still want to make a post or for me, because that's how I promote my business or whatever, how am I protected on that end?
Wait, so you said you put that in your contracts already, right?
Now I do.
Okay,
but beforehand, I didn't. I guess that was the issue before. Yeah. They're like, hey, I don't post final products, but I do post process photos.
Yeah.
But in that type of situation where I created the sketch and you showed me a picture of another designer's work and I took my own take on it and I did the sketch.
Yeah.
Whose is that? Because I thought I was well in my right to post that sketch because it was just me drawing it.
Yeah, well, technically, now we're getting into copyrights.
Right? Okay.
So, with copyrights, whoever creates it owns it.
So, it was mine.
By default.
Okay.
By default.
It was mine. It was mine. So, she probably ain't listening, though. I'm like, it was mine.
So, copyrights, the way that I always think of copyrights is they are some kind of original creative content.
Okay.
Right. Original. Creative and content, right? Mm-hmm. So one thing to know is you can never protect ideas, right? So right. when you're talking to people, there's no registration for just an idea, right? Mm-hmm. But what you can do is if you memorialize that idea into something tangible and with like a sketch or a drawing or something like that, mm-hmm. then it becomes a copyright, right?
Okay.
So another thing too is in your agreements, it depends on what the IP rights are between you and whoever you're working with, right?
Right.
Because sometimes okay. what people will have in their contracts is whatever you I'm hiring you to create something for me,
mm-hmm.
whatever you create for me, I own.
Yeah, so that's in my contract that whatever I create for them, they own. Like I said, I own okay. no rights to it. So it is in there. Like I don't care. But my thing is, you're not gonna. I think my contract is more stacked up, which is protecting me and my vendors
yeah.
or whatever. Like yeah. like time frames. Like I've gotten sued for time. Yeah, I've gotten sued. But and I talk about my lawsuits all the time. I don't give too much detail. But I tell people I ain't got sued too, y'all.
Yeah.
But I get sued because of time. So that made mm-hmm. me go backwards and want to like make sure I'm protecting myself on that.
Yeah.
Or I've had comments about like the social media. So every time I've taken every experience or every issue with a client mm-hmm. and I put it in the contract. Now my contract is like 18 pages long, child. They did. But it's like their property is their property.
Yeah.
I don't own any of it, but the posting thing I like to be able to do because that is literally the only way for me to promote my business and like what I do or whatever.
Yeah, well, if you have it in your contract that you can, that's something that you can post.
I don't let them read them though. So if somebody reads a contract and then they like, I guess they decide to sue you anyway, you just have to technically like fight it in court because it's like, did y'all look at the contract? Like, did y'all even read it? Like, it's thinking I get it. And do you find that often when you work with clients or like, have you ever had like, which I have this segment called "It's a Success or It's a Disaster." Have you ever had like a situation where something was like really, really bad, but you learned from the experience and it made you do something different in business? That was mine. Like all this fuck up shit, I added some contract and just move forward. So what was an experience or something that happened within your business as you've been growing your law firm where something went bad, but you took it and you ran with it and it just made you a better business owner?
So. Thankfully, I haven't had anything like super bad happen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because I've only been in business for
by
2 years.
God,
by the grace of God.
I not? Yeah. No, I had a lawsuit a year too.
Really?
I think so.
I mean,
she lost though. Because
like,
I didn't do nothing.
Yeah. It's, some people are just litigious and just, they get
She was a lawyer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And she filed it without me even knowing it. Like, I had no idea about it. Like, none. Like, no. And I thought it was so crazy when I found out about it. My lawyer vacated the judgment. Like, come on, here. Like, you know, her fucking business information is public records. Not like you couldn't serve her and shit. Like,
exactly.
It had a whole judgment and everything, and I never knew nothing about it.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, she finagled some shit.
This
ain't no way.
And you a lawyer? And you were. Okay.
And it got vacated, and then she didn't sue me. Of course, she didn't sue me again. Because, like, girl, why would you do that? Like, I didn't know nothing about it until it was actually, judgment was already there. And I'm like, and I guess how I found out about it? She brought me a bad Google review 3 years later and told me that she sued it. I was like, she sued me. She did?
Wow.
We should sue me. So I went looking for shit. I'm and I told my lawyer, I'm like, I don't have shit, but what, can we find whatever this lawsuit is that she done wrote on Google? I'm like, now you done told me that you sued me. Now I'm going to go look into it. I'm like, you did? All right, let's find out.
That's wild. That's wild.
Yeah.
And see, it's like, of course it will get vacated, right? Because you had no knowledge. You didn't even get a chance to defend yourself against something like that. But yeah, one thing that I will say is, it wasn't like awful terrible, but I have had situations where because I charge flat fees for most of my services, there have been times when I'm like, okay, this flat fee is not going to cover all the work I got to do. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So there have been times when I didn't anticipate as much work that I would have to do when I quoted them a price.
Mm-hmm.
But I always honor whatever I told them, you know what I'm saying?
That's good.
But now, in my agreements, I have a clause that says, if this goes beyond the scope of what was anticipated,
you get an extra fee. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think I added that later down the line because I do the same. I'm a flat rate fee. This is how much it's going to cost.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put in that way, if you make significant changes, like when it comes to things like, girl, if I got to start the fuck over, then we got to, you're going to have to pay some more. And that, but it took me, I think, losing a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
My mother called those bought lessons. Like, when you got to pay for some shit, you do not make the same mistake
again.
Yeah.
No.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So what would you say for designers, business owners, is one of the biggest misconceptions with like having like retaining counsel? Because I feel like people get scared because of the amount or how much it's going to cost. Like, what is like the biggest myth about retaining counsel or working with a lawyer?
I think that they think it's more expensive than doing it on their own.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is because I can't tell you how many times someone comes to me that's used one of those DIY, I'm not going to name them.
LegalZoom.
I didn't say it.
I said it.
That's one of them.
Look at me. I said it. LegalZoom.
That's one of them. Mm-hmm. But there's so many of them out there. And people will either go that route or they'll just completely try to do it themselves. And what I realize is having gotten so many calls from people that are like, yeah, you know, I need to fix my trademark. And I'm like, oh, well, it looks like you have an attorney listed here, you know. And then I see the caption of the email and it says at blah, 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 .com. And I'm like, oh, okay. And a lot of times what happens is they don't do the due diligence on the beginning, on the front end before they file. And so they literally just file whatever they send them and whatever they tell them. And the thing is, like, you don't know what you don't know. Right. So they're not giving you the guidance that an attorney that's actually like your attorney instead of just like this pool of people just like randomly doing work for you will do. They're not going to really advise you in the same way.
Right.
And so they're not going to say like, oh, actually you can't do that, or you should consider this, or maybe tweak this a little bit. They're just going to just file whatever you send them. And it's like, you might as well just not. Either you might as well just do it yourself completely.
Okay.
But then you're still going to, like, I'm not going to say that everyone messes it up, because I have seen people do it themselves and they do it right. But that's rare.
Yeah, you know? And I feel like it would take a lot. Like, I've heard, like, different lawyers speak about, like, trademarks and how long it takes and different things. And I was just like, ain't no way in heck I wouldn't retain counsel. Yeah. I'd be like, give it to my lawyer. Yeah. Like, you know, it's crazy, though. As a business owner, I like being able to say that, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is, girl, but when somebody fucking try me, and I have three lawyers right now.
Really?
I have three, yeah, because I have a lawyer in Jersey, because like people like to fuck with me over there. Yeah. I got one over here.
Yeah.
I got my contract one. Like, I have multiple ones. So I'm just like, you'll be hearing from my attorneys.
Exactly.
I mean, I love saying
I
that.
I want to get a lawyer so I can say that too.
Right. See, like, you'll be hearing from my attorney.
Exactly.
Like, I actually
Let's
like
see
being.
What my attorney I'm
like,
says about
that. I tell somebody in a minute, I'm like, I don't care. I am lawyered up. Okay.
That's,
like,
that's the way to be.
I'm lawyered up. And then I don't know. Like, I think that. In business, would you say, like, in business, like, when someone actually sues someone else, the probability when that happens or whatever of, like, them getting, especially if they sue somebody who ain't got no damn money, that's another thing. Like, do you recommend it? Like, would you recommend arbitration? That's called arbitration, like, mediation before getting to that level? Because I feel like in lawsuits, both parties lose, like.
Yeah. I mean,
well, so I guess if it's somebody who has like a lot of money,
if both
settles,
sides have a lot of money, then
but if both sides is broke, how beneficial is that to either side? You know?
Yeah, exactly. So I think one thing is looking at what the amount in question is, because there always has to be some kind of amount in damages that you're trying to get, right?
Right.
So one is like, are you going to small claims court?
Okay.
They usually move a lot faster. Mm-hmm. It is a process that's made for people to represent themselves.
Right, okay.
For the most part. Some people still hire attorneys when it comes down to those things, especially if the stakes are high.
Gotcha.
But I think that's something to consider. Also, there's no requirement that you go, like, a certain route unless it's in your contract.
Gotcha.
So that's something to consider, too, right? So some people have in their contracts, like, if there is a dispute, we're going to go the mediation route, we're going to go the arbitration route before we get there. Or you just can't go there. Like, this is how you're going to resolve it. You're going to resolve it through mediation or arbitration. You're not going to court.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right? So that's one thing to consider. But it's dicey. The thing with going to court is it could take you years.
Which is a lot of money.
It's a lot
You have
of
to
money.
Be paid every time you go to court, and every time you have to file another motion, anytime you do something.
Anytime you're on the phone.
So it's like you spend like a lot of money to do that. It's a lot.
It's a lot, yeah.
So before we get out of here, I want you to tell, I have this in segment, it's a success or it's a muse. Is there anything out there that you would like to tell any business owner designer, creative that you just like they gotta know? Like, what do they gotta know? Like, if you don't do nothing else, do this.
Huh. I would say, and I mentioned this during my event, mm-hmm. operate in your zone of genius.
You know, I wrote that shit down. I wrote that down. I actually wrote it down under my captions. Like, I only want, because you said it, I only want to operate in my zone of genius. And I wrote that down to do a caption one day when I do a business post. Sure need it on my caption list.
Yes. That's good.
Operate because, in your zone of genius.
Yeah. And basically what that means is realize that as amazing as we all are, mm-hmm. there's only a few things that we're really good at, right? Mm-hmm. And this is something that I'm learning for myself right now.
Okay.
Is that if you just focus all of your time and energy mm-hmm. in your zone of genius, just imagine what you can do. Mm. And you just think of like a zone. Usually when you're thinking of a zone, it's not this big wide thing. Right?
It's like tunnel vision.
It's like tunnel vision. It's like narrow and long, right? Mm-hmm. And there's all this other stuff that has to be done and has to get done that you can hire and delegate other people to do.
Love
and
that.
I've been that person where I'm like, I can do it all. I can figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. I've been that person. Mm-hmm. And I realized that it's caused me to be stagnant in my business because I'm not able to move forward like I want to.
Okay.
I have, like, I feel like as entrepreneurs, we just automatically just, we're creative by nature. And I feel like we always have ideas. Like, I dream about different things that I want to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd be like,
you wake up in the middle of the night.
Wake up in the middle of the night.
And write it down.
Strategize.
I do that too.
I'd be like, I'll wake up and roll over and be like, doing a voice, like, okay, so maybe you could do like
half week, okay? I love that though.
Right? And so there's just always so many things that we want to do and realizing that we can't do them alone. You know what I'm saying? It takes a village, it takes a community.
There's no unity without community. That's my
line. Yes.
There's no unity without community, okay?
I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it's really important that we realize that. To realize that we do our best work when we're not spread so thin trying to do everything.
Yeah.
You know, I always see those like memes and those posts where it's like, I'm the sales rep, I'm the intake person, I'm the secretary, mm-hmm. I'm the administrative system, I'm the marketing person, I'm the service provider, I'm this, I'm that. And when you're everything, you can only move forward just a tiny bit. Whereas if you could have other people that are taking care of things in their zone of genius, mm-hmm. you can stay in yours and just move things a lot further.
See, and I was like that in the beginning, like when I first started, because I could, but like I want to say after like maybe year two, I'm delegation queen now. You do this, you do this, you do that, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that.
Yeah.
And I operate in my zone of genius is strategy.
Yeah.
Time management mm-hmm. and like delegation. Like I know how to do, I do know how to do everything in my business.
Yeah.
If I had to scrap it all at one and it was just me, I could operate by myself.
Yep.
But I would be very slow motion.
Exactly.
If I did. I know how and I can train anybody how to do it. And to me, that's my zone of genius, being able to walk someone how to do each and every step.
Yep.
So education is like top tier for me because I can teach you how to do anything that I can do, honestly.
Same. I'm the same way.
So if you could just throw out all your social media handles, any events you have coming up, how to reach you, if you have any like service specials or like, you know, anybody that you like any particular service that you have that you want to promote, throw it out so the people can know.
Yeah. So my two major services that I provide is trademark registrations and contracts. So like contracts review, drafting, negotiating are like my bread and butter really of my firm. Mm-hmm. I don't have any specials right now because I'm kind of
ain't no specials.
Specials.
We're not doing no. We don't do specials. It's like Christmas season or something like that. It's tax season. Y'all got it.
Yeah, exactly. Y'all getting them refunds and y'all know y'all need to care.
I ain't
done
no specials.
See, I
might offer a limited time thing. Like I'm offering this from this window, but
Or sometimes I'll do like a bundle where like you get this service and I might offer you something else like at a discounted rate or something like that if you do something else. But you can follow me at Your Fashion Attorney on Instagram and on TikTok. I also have another Instagram for my firm called The Cloud Law Firm, and you can also check out my website at thecloudlawfirm.com.
Well, thank you so much, Ashley. Thanks for joining us. And just one thing, throw out, I feel like you already did it though, but do you have any other like mantras or anything like that? So, because mine, when I end the show, I say, stay black, peace out. Do you have one?
Mine is never settle.
Never settle, y'all.
Never settle.
Now I'm going to end it. Stay black. Peace out.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye.